one of the core programs that we run here at Unionville Alliance Church is called Alpha. And as part of Alpha, there's one session near the end. Sometimes we don't always get to it because of other sessions that we do, but it's called Does God Heal Today? And in that session of Alpha, Does God Heal Today?, Nikki Gumbel tells a number of different stories about healing. And one of them that he shared near the beginning was something that happened at Holy Trinity Brompton, which is the birthplace of Alpha in England, about 40 plus years ago, when John Wimber visited that church. And during that time, he was talking about healing. And their team, as they came, John Wimber was from the States. When they came over, their team prayed, and they had a number of words of knowledge that they wanted to share with that church. And words of knowledge is a gift of the Holy Spirit, one of the gifts that the Spirit gives to people. And they had a number of different words of knowledge for different things that God wanted to specifically heal. And one of them was that there was a woman who was who was having difficulty conceiving a child. And as he said that there's somebody here like that, and they waited and waited, nobody came. And Nikki Gumbel says that at that time in England, you know, it's one of those things you don't talk publicly about. And so they just waited and waited. And then all of a sudden, one young woman who Nikki Gumbel and his wife knew came up to the front to receive prayer. And they were surprised. They didn't even know that she was having trouble conceiving. Well, 9 months later, she had the first of her 5 children. And because God had come and done something amazingly supernatural for her. In that same session, there was another word of knowledge that said, there are 10 people here that God wants to heal from athlete's foot. And very specific. And so they asked the people, you know, those 10 people to stand up. And one by one, people started standing up, and there was 9 people standing. And Nikki was there, and he didn't want to stand. It was a little embarrassing for him. But his wife kept elbowing him and telling him, you're the 10th person, stand up. And so he still didn't want to, but then he realized that, you know, he's going to have to ask prayer for healing for his ribs before he asks prayer for healing for his athlete's foot. And so he decided to stand up. And so he stood up. And as he stood up, the people from the prayer team were coming around and praying for those people. And as the pastor came to pray for Nikki, he said, would you like me to pray for your athlete's foot? And he said, no, it's okay. All right? He's like, oh, okay. Then what do you want me to pray for? And he said, mainly because he was embarrassed, he just said generally, for power in my ministry. And he said, okay, I'll pray for that. And so he started to pray for Nikki. And Nikki said he felt like 10,000 bolts of lightning just went in through his body. And the pastor would pray, Lord, it was a simple prayer, Lord, give him more power, give him more power. And as Nikki was receiving this, then he realized this is a lot here, and he's like, no more power, no more power. And the pastor kept praying, more power, more power. And Nikki's praying, no more power, no more power. And he said there was this argument that was going on as the pastor's praying, and he's saying no. And so John Wimber, who's leading the session at the front, he tells him, because he's seen some interesting things in his day, he tells him, okay, just take him outside, you know, from the room that they were in. And as they were taking him outside, Nikki Gumbel said this. He said, as he was leaving that room, John Wimber told him, or told the rest of the people there, God is filling him with power to tell people about Jesus. This was in the early 80s. This was before Alpha was popular, before Alpha had gone all over the world, before Alpha had reached millions of people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Nikki says he traces it back to that time when he says there was something significant that God did in his life to speak to him and touch him and fill him with power through that word of knowledge that was given. And so we have to realize, and oftentimes we maybe devalue this, or we don't see this as much, or don't allow the Spirit to work in our lives as much in this way, because we don't operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit and see and allow the Spirit to use us to speak through us and to speak to us as well. And so I want to encourage you today to be open to whatever the Holy Spirit has to say to you, whatever the Holy Spirit wants to do in you, whatever the Holy Spirit wants to do through you as well. We're going to have a time of prayer at the end here, and I want to encourage each and every one of you to come with your families to come up and receive a prayer, whether it's a prayer of healing or a prayer of blessing. Janice read for us in Isaiah chapter 53, and there's a prophetic chapter in Isaiah speaking about the suffering servant, speaking about what Jesus was going to do. in dying on the cross and suffering for us. And so I want to just go through a little bit about Isaiah 53 and talk a little bit about healing and maybe some things that we might not understand as well. And the first thing is this, that sometimes we misunderstand God's purposes. Sometimes we think that we're going through a sickness or we're going through some difficulty or some trial. Maybe we think, oh, because maybe it's God punishing me, or maybe it's because, you know, God is angry at me, or God doesn't want to heal me, or this reason or that reason. There's so many things that we might actually misunderstand that's not actually what God is trying to do. In Isaiah 53 and verse 4, it says, speaking about Jesus, yet it was our weaknesses he carried, it was our sorrows that weighed him down, and we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. Can you see the misunderstanding here? The prophet is saying, we thought that, as he's speaking prophetically of what would happen to Jesus, that his suffering on Calvary, his suffering of what he would go through, was a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. So the first thing I want to say is, as you've come here to the house of the Lord today, as you've come here particularly for this healing service, and if this is your first time here, thank you for coming. We want you to receive a touch from Jesus today. Not that we can do anything in and of ourselves, but Jesus has power to touch and change lives. And I want you to know that you are special and important to Christ, and that you are loved deeply by him. And there might be lies that are being spoken to you, thinking, oh, God doesn't love you. Jesus is far away from you. He doesn't want to help you. See, he hasn't answered your prayer all this time. It's because you did this or you did that or you did this other thing in your past. Sometimes we come with this misunderstanding and think, oh, I'm the way that I am. I'm, you know, God doesn't want to do anything for me because of what I've done. No, there's power in the blood of Jesus to cleanse us and to forgive us. And he can wash and cleanse our sins as white as snow and take away all of our sins and all of our iniquities and give us a fresh new start. In the Gospels, we read about a story of a man that when the disciples saw him and he was blind, and the question the disciples had to Jesus, who sinned? Was it this man that sinned, or was his parents that sinned, that he would be born blind? And this is what the disciples said, Rabbi, his disciples asked him, why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins? It was not because of his sins or his parents' sins, Jesus answered. This happened so that the power of God could be seen in him. This happened because for the power of God to be seen in him. And friends, I want to tell you today that the power of the Lord is here to heal. I want to tell you by the word of the Lord that the power of the Lord is here to heal. So don't worry about what happened in the past, and don't worry about maybe lies that you have heard or thought about in your own life. Surrender that all to Jesus and know this, that Jesus loves you, he cares for you, and he wants to bless you. It doesn't mean that he'll always heal, and I'll get to that in a moment, but he does want to draw you close to his heart. And he wants to know you, and he wants you to know him. When we think about the story of the way in the manger and the whole Christmas story, if you think about it, one of the greatest misunderstandings that the Jewish people had about Jesus was that they were waiting for a Messiah that was going to be a conquering king that would come and establish his kingdom and his rule here on earth and kick out the Romans and bring things back to the glory days of Israel when David was king, when Solomon was king, and when Israel was the greatest nation in the world. And that's what they were waiting for. And instead, what did they get? A small little baby in a manger. That was one of the greatest misunderstandings that many of them just completely overlooked. The coming Messiah. And then at the end of Jesus' life, when the disciples were waiting and they were hoping for Jesus to establish his kingdom and establish his rulership, and he had done so many miracles and signs and wonders and wonderful teaching and things that just blew people away. And then at the end of his life, what they thought was the greatest defeat, when Jesus was hanging there on Calvary, suffering and dying and his life coming to an end, and they thought, this is it. There's no more hope. Why did we follow Jesus for these 3.5 years? That's the end of it. What they thought was the ultimate defeat was actually the ultimate victory. And so, friends, sometimes we misunderstand God's purposes and we misunderstand God's plan because we only see a small little thing and we don't see the bigger picture that God is actually doing and the bigger story that God is actually weaving. And sometimes we murmur and complain, and sometimes we argue against God because we can't see that bigger picture. Joel, my son, is really into puzzles right now. And so the puzzles that he gets is you have a rectangle, and the picture is actually there. So all he has to do is match the puzzle piece to that, and then he's able to put the whole puzzle together. And he does so many of them all by himself. And he likes to say at the end, "Daddy, I did it all by myself." But he's able to do it because he sees the bigger picture. He's going to take him a lot longer when he does adult puzzles. And, you know, if you have a 500 puzzle piece and you don't see what the final picture is and you have to try to put things together. And that's sometimes like our life. If we were able to see the final thing, the final story that Jesus is weaving, maybe it'll make more sense to us when we see the small little puzzle piece that doesn't fit anywhere else. And maybe we concentrate our time on that small little piece and we're like, where does it go? How does it fit? Why are you doing this? Why are you allowing this? Why is this happening to me? Why this and why that? How come it doesn't go here? If it just fit right here, then my life would be so perfect. But we need to see the bigger picture that Jesus is weaving and writing of our lives and of his kingdom. Number two, Jesus paid the price for our holistic healing. Jesus came to this world and he died. He came as the way in the manger and as the baby that was born to grow up, to die on the cross for you and for me, to bring us healing and wholeness. And he does this holistically. In Isaiah 53, it says, "But he was pierced for our rebellion. He was crushed for our sins. He was beaten so that we could be whole. He was whipped so that we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all." See, Jesus came and he died on the cross of Calvary for you and for me to take away our sins. And he wants to heal us, not just physically, but he wants to heal us spiritually and emotionally and holistically. Our body is just here for a certain number of years, but our spirit and soul will last for all of eternity. And so the healing that God brings is a holistic healing in our lives. In the Gospel of Matthew, when Jesus met a person that was demon-possessed, it says here, that evening many demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. He cast out the evil spirits with a simple command, and he healed all the sick. This fulfilled the word of the Lord, and now Matthew is quoting from Isaiah, through the prophet Isaiah, who said, "He took our sicknesses and removed our diseases." He came to holistically heal us, to heal us body, soul, and spirit. The psalmist says it this way in Psalm 103, "He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases." He forgives all of my sins and heals all of my diseases. The two go together. It's not just about a physical healing, but it's about an emotional and a spiritual healing that God wants to do in our lives. There's a story when Jesus walked the earth and a woman came to him who had an issue of blood and she was bleeding and bleeding for many years and she sought for healing and comfort through the doctors but could not find any. But she heard about Jesus and she said, "If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be whole." In Matthew chapter 9, it says Jesus turned around when she touched him. He turned around and he said, "Daughter, be encouraged. Your faith has made you well." A few weeks ago, I shared about my favorite word in the Old Testament. Does anyone remember what my favorite word in the Old Testament is? Hesed. Good job. All right, hesed. And so many people afterwards came and said, "Daniel, you told us your favorite word in the Old Testament was hesed. What's your favorite word in the New Testament?" It's zozo. And it's the word for well right here. "Daughter, be encouraged. Your faith has made you zozo," which means salvation. It means healing. It means wholeness. It means a wholeness in our whole being. It's not just about a physical healing. It's about a spiritual healing. It's about an emotional healing. It's about a mental healing. It's about bringing wholeness to our whole body. The Chosen series is a really good TV series. If you want to, you know, it's holiday time. People are probably binge-watching this, that, and the other, right? If you want to binge-watch something, you can binge-watch The Chosen. I'm going to show you a couple of clips from The Chosen because it exemplifies and really shows a little bit about some of these miracles that Jesus did. Here's a clip from The Chosen about this woman who received healing from Jesus. And the beautiful thing I want to point out is, as Jesus says here, he says, "Daughter." To all those who believed him, he gave the power to be called the children of God. And here he calls her daughter, a person that thought that she was far away from Jesus, far away from the promises of God, far away from healing. Jesus calls her daughter.
"My daughter."
"I'm no one's daughter anymore."
"Look up. Yes, you are. daughter. It wasn't my piece of clothing that healed you.
But it was instant. I felt it right away.
I know, but it wasn't this. It was your faith.
Teacher, she was bleeding so long. We can take her.
She is clean. You have blessed me today. And I know. My daughter, I know it has been a fight for you for so long. You must be exhausted. Go now in peace. Your faith has made you well. I wish I could stay here longer, but I have business to attend to. Someone else has faith like yours. I'm so glad that we found each other.
Jesus loves you. And he wants to find you. His arms are waiting open for you. The healing that God brings us ultimately to bring us into this place of eternity, as it says in the book of Revelation, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death, or sorrow, or crying, or pain, or sickness, or any of those things. All these things are gone forever. Number three, Jesus' faith in his Father's plans. The question is, do we have faith in our Father's plans? Jesus' faith, but do we? In Isaiah 53, it says, he was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep is silent before the shears, he did not open his mouth. He went through all of that, did not open his mouth. He was silent. He accepted his Father's plans. And although he prayed with agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, as things came to fruition, Jesus accepted his Father's will. Even though he said, not my will, but your will be done, he yielded to his Father's plans. And so how about for us? Do we have faith in the Father's plan for us? And sometimes it's a plan that we don't want, and sometimes it's a plan that we wish was something that was different. Even for Jesus, as he prayed, Lord, is there any way for this cup to pass from me? But Jesus had faith in his Father's plan. How about for you and for me? In Luke chapter 22, he says, Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. There's so many times that we wish the will of God maybe was different, or the plans of God were different. But what God is looking for is faith. We see this over and over again in the New Testament. We see over and over again stories where Jesus says, be it according to your faith. Your faith has made you whole. Friends, if you've come to the house of the Lord today and we have a time of prayer for healing, come believing in faith. Don't come doubting, or don't come just because, oh, they said we should come, but come with faith. Come believing. What is your petition before the Lord? What are you asking the Lord for today? In Matthew chapter 8, we read about the story of another person who had faith. He was a Roman, he was a Gentile, and he came to Jesus realizing that because his servant was sick. And he said to Jesus, you don't even need to come into my house. You can just say the word, Jesus, and my servant will be whole. And Jesus turned around and looked at his disciples, and he says this. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed, turning to those that were following him. And he said, I tell you the truth, I haven't seen faith like this in all Israel. He was stunned. He couldn't believe it. This is what Jesus is looking for. Faith in the Father's plan. Whatever it might be. And sometimes God chooses to heal, and sometimes maybe he chooses not to heal in our limited timeline, in our limited scope, or in our limited view. And as we pray for healing today, I can't promise you anything, and I can't guarantee you anything, because I'm not Jesus. And our elders and our pastoral staff here, they can't promise you anything either. There's no special trick. There's nothing special that we can do. We just do this in obedience to God's word, who tells us to pray in faith, believing. Because the promises of the word of God are true, that by his stripes we are healed. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord would raise them up. That if we agree on earth and we pray for something, that God will do it according to his will. And so we pray believing and we pray asking. And just as this Roman centurion came to Jesus with faith, if we come to Jesus with faith, he's there to hear us. In verse 13 it says, then Jesus said to the Roman officer, go back home because you believed, it has happened. And the young servant was healed that same hour. Take a look at how the chosen portray this particular story.
Praetor Gaius. Lord.
My servant boy is lying paralyzed at home. He has been sick for so long, and now he is suffering terribly, near death.
Take me to him.
Lord.
You call him Lord?
I am not worthy to have you come into my home. And I know you would not be comfortable as a Jew in a Roman's home. But you only need to say the word, and he will be healed.
I'm not worthy.
The truth about the child, he's actually my son. I am so ashamed, I shouldn't even be asking you, but I am. And I know you can do it.
Master, I never thought I'd say this, but he is worthy to have you do this for him. He loves our people, he has helped us.
I know. Do not trouble yourself. You can heal him from a distance with only a word of command. I also have authority with men under me. If I say to one, go, he goes. If I say to another, come, he comes. Anything you command in this world will happen. I know it. Even this.
Stand up.
What?
Rise. Did you all hear this man? Truly, I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I was rejected in my own hometown, and I'm threatened by the religious leaders of my own people, and yet this man, a Gentile, has more bold confidence in what he believes that I can do than anyone I have yet encountered. Go. It has been done for you according to your belief.
Thank you.
Thank you. You've brightened my day to encounter this kind of faith.
How about our faith? Can we come to Jesus believing? Number four, sometimes our prayers are not answered the way that we would like. Have you ever encountered this? Oh no, you have all your prayers answered? That's great. Okay. Nobody is in this situation. I think we've all come into situations and circumstances where our prayers haven't been answered the way that we would want them to be answered. And what do we do in those situations? In Isaiah 53, it says, but it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. Doesn't sound very nice, right? But it was God's plan to crush him, to cause Jesus grief. It was God's plan. It wasn't the way that Jesus wanted. Jesus prayed, "Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me." But God's plan was to bruise him and to crush him. Yet when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. He will enjoy a long life, and the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hand. It was the plan of the Lord to bruise him, to crush him, but it was also God's plan to prosper him. And so, friends, if we can see the greater picture that God is painting and the greater story that God is telling, that there are times that maybe our prayers are not answered the way that we would want it, but if we yield and surrender to the will of God, then his plan is much better than our plan. Even the great apostle Paul, who healed many people, they even took handkerchiefs from his body and put it on other people, and they were healed. He had an infirmity, and look at what he says. He says three different times, "I begged the Lord to take it away." He asked the Lord to heal him. Each time, the Lord told him back, "My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness." So now, Paul says, "I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me." Even though Paul's prayer was not answered, he saw the power of Christ working in him through his weakness. Whatever that sickness was, whatever that weakness was, whatever that petition that he wanted answered and didn't get it answered, Paul still saw God's plan lived out through him. And sometimes our prayers aren't answered, and we need to surrender that to Jesus. There's a wonderful book about unanswered prayer I highly recommend. It's called God on Mute by Pete Gregg. And if you've ever struggled with unanswered prayer, it's a wonderful book. I wish I could just read the whole book as one message here because it's so powerful and amazing and enlightens the heart. But one quote within that book is actually a poem from the Civil War era written by a soldier, and he said this: "I asked for strength that I might achieve. He made me weak that I might obey. I asked for health that I might do greater things. I was given grace that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I received nothing that I asked for, all that I hoped for. My prayer was answered. I was most blessed." See, sometimes we ask for something, but God answers in a different way because he knows what's best for us. And that comes to a place of surrender, and it comes to a place of faith and trust in Jesus. Do we trust him? Are we willing to surrender to him? Are we willing to give our whole life to him, realizing that he ultimately wants the best from us? In the book, God on Mute, Pete says this: "God's great aim has always been and will forever be relationship with us." God's aim is not to bring us physical healing. That's not his ultimate goal, although sometimes he does bring us physical healing. God's ultimate aim is to have relationship with us. Sometimes he may deprive us of something in order to draw us to someone. Sometimes he'll deprive us of something so that we can be drawn closer to him. Can I encourage you, starting in 2025, we're going into a 40-day prayer challenge. If you'd like to join, you can just text the word 7 a.m. or 7 p.m. to this number, 647-931-0015. We're starting on January 1st, and we're going to explore different types of prayer, different ways to pray, things that we can help that can help us to build our relationship with Jesus and draw closer to him. I want to encourage you to take some time to think about doing a Bible reading plan for the whole year as well. Read through the whole scriptures, as I encouraged you last week to do as well. 2025 is a great opportunity to be able to do that. And lastly, he ultimately wants our good. He ultimately wants our good. And this requires faith and trust as well. Do we trust and know that ultimately he wants our good? In Isaiah 53, it says, "When he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, he will be satisfied. And because of his experience, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous, for he will bear all their sins." See, what's the good that he wants to do ultimately? My righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous. My righteous servant will make it possible for you and for me to be counted righteous. That's the ultimate good that he wants for us. And we have to trust and know that that is God's plan for us, ultimately to make us righteous and holy in his sight. In the season of Christmas, we remember the birth of Jesus, as it says in Matthew, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. He will save his people from their sins. This is the ultimate good that he has for us, to save us from our sins, to heal us from our sins, to bring wholeness into our life. Sozo, salvation and healing in our lives. Anna just turned one, and in a couple of weeks, she has to go have her one-year shots, and she's going to cry. And she's going to be wondering, why is mommy and daddy making me go through these shots and this prick in my body? And she's going to cry and cry and cry. Do we say, okay, because she's going to cry, I'm not going to give that to her? No. Ultimately, we want her good. Ultimately, we want her to be healthy and well. So she needs to take her immunization shots so she can be healthy and well. And so we make the decision for her to go through that and to go through a little bit of pain and suffering for her ultimate good. Because we see the bigger picture. She doesn't see that. But we see it as her parents. And in the same way, as we surrender and yield to the Lord, do we understand that he is for our ultimate good? I want to tell you a story of something that happened a few weeks ago here at Unionville Alliance Church. I don't know if you remember a few weeks ago, it's probably about 2 months ago now, where I really felt the Spirit of the Lord that was moving here in this place. And I came up, it wasn't part of our service order or anything, I came up and I invited people just to open up their hands and surrender to the Lord. And just to yield to the Lord and give to the Lord what you're holding on to. And a number of you came and told me afterwards, I said it might just be for one person. A number of you came and told me, Daniel, that was me. That, you know, the Lord really spoke to me and worked in me and touched my life in that. But there's a family here, I won't share their names, but they gave me permission to tell the story, that their grandson was diagnosed with cancer at the beginning of this year on January 17th, 2024. And I'm just going to read portions of an email that I received from this family. And he had surgery on February 7th to remove the tumor. And the doctors thought that, you know, everything would be okay after that. Poor little guy, he was only 4 years old. And then 6 weeks later, they had a scan, and the tumor had come back. And it started to grow again. And so the doctors thought, we can't put him through another surgery. We're going to just give him some chemo and radiation. And the grandmother had a vision of what God was going to do. And I'll read you part of her email to me. On February 8th, after surgery, we were in devotion before bedtime. And while I was praying, I had a vision. And I saw the doctor working on the tumor. But way beneath, I saw the hand of God working below the doctor's hand with a tool piercing the tumor from the very bottom. It was a hand of a shadow right away, and I knew it was God. After this vision, I was expecting a miracle any day, but it did not happen. Have you gone through that? Unanswered prayer? I went back to the Lord asking him the meaning of the vision. What he clearly said was, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, this child is healed. No miracle, so I went back again to the Lord the third time, and he said, your child will live and tell the world that what God has done for him. And then she heard no more and waited for the miracle to happen. And then on November 10th, that was the day actually, November 10th, when I came up here, Pastor Daniel said during the service that the Lord had spoken to him and told him whatever burden someone was carrying, to give it over to him, to the Lord. Immediately I knew it was for me, so I fully surrendered my grandson with the sense that others were surrendering things to the Lord. And I surrendered him for the first time totally to the Lord. I was afraid that if I surrendered everything to the Lord, maybe he might call my grandson home. But I knew that God will always have done what is best regardless of what I do. So this was a Sunday, November 10th. And then on that Saturday, their grandson had another scan. And guess what? No tumor. It was all gone. That's the miracle-working God that we serve. He's able to do the impossible. And I don't know what you've come here to the Lord with or what your petition is before the Lord. Worship team, you can come as we prepare to sing. But I want to tell you that the power of the Lord is here to heal. That Jesus is our healer. And he can and will heal. And God wants us just to surrender to him. We're going to sing to the Lord, and afterwards I'm going to give you some instructions on what we're going to do. And our elders and our pastors will be here to pray. This is not magic. This is not any power that we have. It is the power of Jesus. And we just obey him. We come in faith in obedience, and we pray in faith in obedience, knowing that Jesus can do all things. Do you have faith today? Do you believe in the power of the Lord to heal? Let's sing to the Lord.